It's time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werfman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, so at serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Stummy Before Her Voice Was Still, and other books, because I forgot. I don't have the one in front of me.
We're getting a copy of the Duck Book. We're getting a copy of the Duck Book. I can't hear me.
Jill, you never sent me your address.
It's on the way. 67 Main Street, Sharon, Connecticut.
Okay, fine.
I'm just a very bad emailer is the problem.
Okay.
Very terrible. All right, now my thing is acting up. All right, here we go. Here we go. Dr. Judy Werfman, hello.
Hi. Anyways, good to talk to you. And I'm actually talking about a subject that occurred to me when having a conversation with a friend of mine who had gone through just a horrible year and a half, not just because of the pandemic, but because her husband, who was very sick, eventually died, but she was the one who was his sole caretaker and took care of everything in addition. And I used to call her up and maybe at 9 or 9:30 at night, and she would just be getting around to paying the bills after having taken care of her husband and done everything else, to get her household running, including all sorts of unexpected household repairs. Anyway, so I called her up recently, and she said to me, she was just sitting, she was visiting her adult children at a summer home they had. So I'm just sitting, looking at the lake with a book in my lap, and, I'm just not doing anything, and it's an absolute joy. She said, I'm even a little bit bored. And it occurred to me that how many of us have the luxury of saying, I'm not doing anything right now, and, I could, and maybe if I don't for a while, I might find myself getting a little bit restless, but it's so nice having nothing to do for even if it's, for 2 minutes and being bored. And it's in contrast to, and especially if we're going into the fall activities, et cetera, really in contrast to the way we spend most of our lives, rushing from one thing to another, having a to-do list that grows longer as the week goes on, because we don't manage to finish by Thursday what we really had planned to do by Tuesday, and find ourselves in a situation where people are making demands on us at work, in social and communal activities, at home, and we don't say no, or we find that it's impossible to say no, or people, if we do say no, we can't do this, people get angry at us or annoyed or say, well, wait a minute, you did this in the past, you took on this activity, or you took on this work, or you're willing to work for weekends and late at night, why aren't you doing this now? And, much has been written about the fact that we tend to be overcommitted and therefore having all sorts of problems. We don't get enough sleep. We don't make healthy food choices. We don't get enough exercise. But sometimes we find ourselves overcommitted, not because we want to be, because just life keeps dumping things on us to do. And it occurred to me that sometimes we don't even know how much we're doing in a day, because a lot of things we do are so repetitive that we don't even think about what we're doing. We get up, we make the bed, we do the laundry, we empty the dishwasher, we take the kids to school, we go shopping for food, we go to work, we do everything at work, come home, and do 1,000 things afterward. But we do it because it's like breathing. It's just what we have to do. And I thought that, and then we find ourselves totally exhausted without a moment to ourselves. And it occurred to me that maybe one way of looking at this would be to take a little bit of time and write down everything that you do. And it's sort of analogous to what we tell people who are going on a diet who claim, well, I don't know why I'm losing, why I'm not losing any weight. I'm not really eating that much. And then you tell them to put down, make a list, keep track of every morsel of food they put in their mouths. And, oh, gee, I guess I was eating maybe 1,500 or 2,000 more calories than I thought I was, because I didn't notice that I was eating those M&Ms and those nuts and those cookies and that extra piece of bread and finishing up the potato chips that came on my plate when I ordered a sandwich for lunch. And so they suddenly see that, yeah, they really are eating a great deal of food. And I think that really happens when we are going through our day doing things. And if we even just write down the number of things we do, and I'm sure this is probably true of you, Jill, you see that, I really am doing an awful lot. And is there any place in this list of things I'm doing to do less? And I think until we actually scrutinize that and know where we could actually tease out a bit of time for ourselves, we're never going to find ourselves in a situation where we are potentially bored, even if it's only for 2 minutes a day. And I really think that this is what we have to, you know, think about doing before we try to modify our lives and make ourselves, give ourselves a little bit of recreational time. And what, even if it's simply, you know, looking at the flowers on a flowering plant we might have in our living room, or just watching the way the sun makes patterns on our windowsill, that we really have to give ourselves time to relax and time to just be inward and not think about what we're going to be doing next on our to-do list.
That would be called being contemplative, and you will notice that most people have completely forgotten how to do that. So I think that right along with redoing the sensible, shall we call them, building blocks of a diet. I saw something yesterday, by the way, that made me just so demoralized, and I am going to describe it to you. Well, let's first encourage everyone to just take a second and just stop and look at their environment, and look around, and look at the sky, or look at a tree, or just appreciate something that's just right in
that's
front
right.
of them.
They say in the moment, and it really makes a difference. Sometimes, you know, you can just see how the sun makes patterns, you know, on your floor, and you think, oh, there's a rainbow here, because it's coming through the glass, and the glass is breaking the light up in spectrum. And you think, that's really beautiful, and you didn't take time to notice it before.
Right, and you know, there's something that, I mean, it sounds a little on the twee side, but it's something that you can do every day, and it's actually pretty healthy. So now
right,
I want to talk about...
Tell me, what happened? What's going on?
I saw something that was... somebody had made a ramen hot pocket for themselves using their sink, their bathroom sink. And it was... No, so they put the water from the sink in the ramen packet that had, you know, all sorts of preservatives and stuff in
there. Right.
And then they made, I don't know, some sort of burrito something thing that they, taking something that had a lot of preservatives in it and then putting some cheese sauce that had a lot of preservatives in it and then mixing it up in the microwave and da-da-da-da-da. And then they put it in, then the ramen, I guess, becomes hard. Anyway, the point was that they were really happy with it. They were showing other, these were people who obviously, you know, didn't cook and that's all fine. But the lack of awareness of the toxicity going in there, all in the name of stuff that's sold in your store. No one says not to eat this. I mean, except for...
My. That's right. If somebody had actually presented them with a bottle of all the preservatives and artificial ingredients...
And flavoring and chemicals.
This is what you're having for lunch.
Yeah, no,
they
just...
would have said... Please, that's poison. No, it's true, Jill. And if somebody said, you know, you really could make yourself a salad and or buy, you know, even a mixed salad, a bag, and whip up some, you know, oil and vinaigrette, put it on and have a can of salmon or something on top of it, that would have been good. And it wouldn't have taken any more time, and it would have cost no more money than your package of ramen noodles.
But what we have to, figure out, though?
The question is, why do people appear in adulthood without understanding this? And I think one of the reasons is that their parents probably don't understand that either.
Right. No one taught them.
Third or fourth generation people don't know how to cook.
No one taught them. But the thing is, there's got to be an easy way to do something like that that has that same sort of, like, taste or volume, because you're not going to take someone who wants that at that moment and say, oh, have a little can of salmon sprinkled on a salad. That's not going to happen. But what you need to do is find a way to take something like that and deconstruct it so that it can be done in the same short amount of time in the microwave with the same, when I say volume, I just mean like you're that hungry, you want something like that, but with stuff that doesn't, that basically isn't poisonous. And that's...
Yeah.
That's the bottom.
But how do you do that? That's the issue. And I have to tell you very quickly that I have a friend who is a vice president of a company that serves, delivers fresh produce to supermarkets and to salad bars and to restaurants. And he said that his business was devastated during the pandemic because nobody was going into these places. And he said, how do you serve fresh salads to people on a takeout basis, et cetera, and keep them fresh? And how do you serve, you know, freshly crisped, you know, steamed vegetables and to somebody who's ordering something for takeout and keep them at the point that they were when they were first prepared? You know, how do you put them in a microwave so they don't come out soggy? People are starting to do this, but not enough. And you're absolutely right. You should be just as attractive and yummy to be able to put something in the microwave, which is a variety of vegetables and maybe some protein, and you say, with some taste, you know, wow, this really tastes as good as if I ordered at a Chinese restaurant, steamed vegetables and something. I rarely order these things, but I've always been disappointed. It's always been too many preservatives or it's tasteless.
So I have a project, and we will discuss.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman.
All right. Well, we'll work on it.
Food okay, for mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and also rebroadcast on the weekend and at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.